everyone, and welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast. My name is Tiesa, and I'll be your host for this lovely episode. Joining me, as usual, is my beautiful friend and co-host.
Mophie, but actually, technically, I am hosting this episode.
Literally, as I said co-host, I was like, wait, rewind.
Yes,
Yeah,
but
we're
doing
switching it up.
well. Yes, we are switching it up. But do you want to take us through all of the other stuff,
Yeah, all the other stuff.
logistical stuff?
Yes. Mophie's hosting, but let me go through my intro. Thanks for joining. If you're here for the first time, thank you. If you're returning, welcome back. You can find our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. We'd love for you to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating or review so we know how we're doing. We're also on social media, on Twitter and Instagram at our fave pod. So follow us there, find out what we're up to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mophie, I'm handing
Okay.
over the reins. Wow.
Yes, it's my turn. It's my turf right now. Okay, so I guess we'll get into the episode. We are doing not really like a high it's not a highlights episode. It's just kind of like a I'd say like a check-in, just like casual chat, which is what our podcast is, but anyways, a different type of chat, we'd say. Just kind of situating it in the time, in the moment that we are today, which is like August 29th or so. Yeah, August 29th, 2020. And so I
Crazy.
just thought, yeah, it'd be helpful for us to just come on here, turn on the podcast microphone and talk to you guys. So Tessa, how are you doing? I know that you have like tea on. I think we're feeling like similar vibes.
Vibes, yep.
How's your Saturday going, and maybe your week in general as well?
Yeah, girl, I am. Today, I'm feeling a little bit like, not a little bit actually, kind of a lot out of sorts. So I've been like trying to kind of, I have a whole to-do list for today that like I wrote earlier in the week, and I'm trying to kind of focus myself on those tasks and just focus on doing things that I guess I have control over, because right now everything is just really feeling a lot like it's out of control. And so I'm kind of trying to center myself in that way. So that's Saturday. The week has been rough. The week has been rough kind of mentally. Thinking about what it is to exist as a Black person in America. So this week I've been reading Ibram Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist. I'm part of this like diversity and inclusion book club in my at my office. So we've been discussing the book. Yeah, so it's been very interesting. Very interesting, in fact, because in my like small group of discussions, I'm the only Black person. So it's just interesting to kind of just hear what like why people's perspective are reading that book, because for me reading it is like I'm reading it from a very kind of different perspective. I'm just like seeing what another Black person has to say about being anti-racist, not necessarily like I mean I'm educating myself, but maybe not at the level at which like white people need to educate themselves. Anyway, so I've been finding the book very interesting and very thought-provoking. And it's been like challenging a lot of my previously held ideas about like about racism and about the different kinds of racism. Yeah, so reading that, contending with the current landscape of things and just all of the grave injustices that are constantly being committed against Black bodies in America, it's been a tough week. It's been a tough week emotionally, and yeah, I'm just kind of trying to acknowledge that, and then also kind of just tap into like joy and gratitude, because those two things, like, yeah, they're important. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, and I think about how a lot of people talk about how like that's like joy, gratitude, a lot of that is also at the core of much like liberation when we talk about Black liberation or action or activism as well. And that's something that we're hoping to talk about. We're hoping to kind of have this podcast as well be wrapped up in that. And towards the end of this, I think we're going to shift and talk about some things that like how we engage in seeking joy. And looking for joy, and one of those ways for both of us is through music. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about some of like the new music that's happening in Afrobeats and Nigerian music, particularly. So we'll get there. But I hear you so much, Tessa. I was there was a tweet actually that I want to read, a thread that I saw on Twitter this morning. Mm-hmm. Around actually I kind of want to find his particular thread, but I'll start reading it. Says, "This is not 2020. What is happening isn't reducible to a bad year. This is Black life in an anti-Black world. The more we surrender to that truth, the clearer we get about what liberation will take, what risks will cost, everything. What 2020 has done And wait, what 2020 has done, which has been done before, since social media, is democratize the truly alienating force of Black loss. What does it mean to lose the capacity to talk about loss at all, or as such? We again see globalized Black loss, which outstrips capacity to mourn and reflect." The tweet is by Jatela, so his handle is, or their handle. Is Jatella.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all can check it out. I think it's quite insightful. And that's kind of how I'm feeling that, you know, I think it's easy for us to think about this as like 2020 is a shit year. And it is, you know, like there's so many things that's happening in this year I think it's valid to categorize it and talk about it as the like the year and the significance of what this year is going to hold as we go on. But also thinking about how a lot of these things are things that happen every year as well. And when you think of Black life and Blackness, even in a year of 2020, that's grief for many. It's like extra. You know, like the depth of it for Black folks, because in any types of like tragedy, disasters, inequities, you see on a race level, you see how deep the inequity like presents. And that's what we're seeing right now in 2020. And you know, and at the same time, I'm like, 2020 has also been like this year that it's like we see all the shit in plain sight. You know, all of this is happening, and we're at a crux in our society now, where the way people are talking about race, the way people are talking about injustice is different, you know, and we're seeing it for what it is, and it's shitty, right? And on some level, I'm like, it's a shift. So as much as many people want to complain about 2020, and not Black folks, I'm thinking of like non-Black people. I'm like, I get it, but it's also like this is the year that's showing all of the shit. So like, I get you guys can complain, but at the same time, I'm like, don't complain, because like without this year, we wouldn't be able to talk about all of these inequities in this way, all of the like the grief that we've been facing for so many years. I mean, we've always talked about it, that's not what I'm saying, but like nobody, the world hasn't listened the same way.
No, that's for sure. Sure. I feel like it's just very much like a kind of taking off of the blindfold, and also kind of a forcing of awareness and a forcing of like contend with this issue. Like it's not enough for you to like sit down in your little living room and say, oh, this is so shocking. It's sad that this is happening. Not saying that you can't express those things, but like it's not enough anymore. Now it's like these are the like where do you stand? Like very clearly, where do you stand? These are the issues, and these are the issues facing Black people. These are the issues facing Black lives. And what are you going to do about it? Like, So definitely been an eye opener 2020. So like, in that way, you know, you don't want to take that back. I mean, I hate all of the things that are happening. for it to be an eye opener, like for us, like we have to contend with these injustices. Like, I hate that they're happening in the first place, but like the least we can do is then be able to like be in place to properly like fight them.
It's been a long week. I've starting this week, you know, and seeing the shooting and just the unjust treatment of Jacob Blake and continuous unjust treatment of him, I should say, even until, I don't know, I haven't checked until this moment, but following his shooting and everything as well. You know, starting the week and, you know, sometimes people, like, honestly, like, at that point, I was like, I can't engage too much. I was like, yes, I know what's happening in the periphery. You know, I'm reading the news a little bit, but, you know, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, or even others in some way, and for Black folks, like, is there a point that you're like, I'm not going to get emotionally, like, affected, because it's, you feel it in your body, and you are emotionally affected, but you're like, my brain and my heart and my body is just not going to connect so deeply or go that deeply, because, like, what the fuck is happening?
Yep. Like, I mean, it's exactly that. And I think for me, I'm constantly, I'll just be honest here, I'm constantly kind of going back and forth between, like, almost feeling guilty about having that stance where I'm like, I don't want to engage. Like, but at the same time, I'm like, this is like, it almost feels like a survival tactic, not engaging, because it's like, it hurts so much, like it cuts so deep. And I know that, like, I'm saying that it hurts, it cuts deep, but like the person who this injustice has been committed against, like, obviously also hurts for them. But like, it just feels like a lot, right? It feels like, sometimes I feel like paralyzed with like, with just my hurts. Like, I feel it feels paralyzing. So, and it's in those moments where I'm like, I can't, like, I just can't, like, even though I want, even if I wanted to, like, I can't, like, I can't engage. And because, like, at this point, like, is it not every day now? Is it not, like, almost every week now? Like, there's something, you know, there's something. And it's not as if, you know, we're still fighting other things. Like, have the people who murdered Breonna Taylor been arrested?
We're still
talking about that, and then to now, it just is difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah, and I think, like, that's why, you know, like, the fight or like a lot of, you know, just thinking about it, and especially like for Black folks, it's ongoing and it's continuous and it's every day, right? So like, even like learning or thinking about how to like channel those energies and channel the fight, because it's going, like, every day we wake up, it's like, as a Black person in this society, there's an injustice, there's something happening, you know. So how can that be? How do you channel your work and even kind of thinking about it in conjunction to now talking about Chadwick Boseman and many other folks that, you know, every day, how is that, how are you doing that work, and what does that look like? And for me, that's how in many ways I try to think about it, and not thinking about it as a disengagement and maybe distinguishing what that looks like, because sometimes it's not a disengagement. Like, you're still very, like, you can still be very engaged and still, like, recognizing when you need to take space and how you need to, like, how you need to be engaged. So what does engagement look like? Does it look like news? Does it look like activism? Does it look like whatever, however that comes for you? But I think about how, like, you know, as Black folks, or as a Black person, for me, I can't imagine, like, You know, I can't imagine every day not showing up doing work like that is connected to my community. And
Exactly, exactly,
that is for the community.
exactly.
Because like and I guess situating all of this starting from like early this week up until like yesterday for me is that like going to work, like my work weeks feel like super exhausting. Like there's no like space for like breath or like almost relaxation or anything. And each time as I go into working in this like freaking like institution that like when you situate it, this institution is older than Canada, like the colonial Canada. Then you just begin to think of how much of a deep institution on white supremacy and on the erasure and silencing of Black folks that has happened at this school, at this university. And each day going to work and just like feeling exhausted, but also like trying to stay true to what like I know my commitment is.
Is, yeah.
And you know, going from times where you're told really hard things and you're you know, you're for lack of better terms, you're bullied, you're ostracized, you're pushed down,
Yeah.
and to want to still stay true to whatever, like to what that fight is, which is like I know why I'm doing this, and it's not for this like institution, like it's for the people. And each day, each moment where I can like fight and push, like for me that's my
It's
work. And in so many areas, like this is just in my like day job, but like in so many areas as well, it's like how can I be connected, you know, to doing some of this work and knowing like that's my purpose in the grand scheme of everything. Anyways, yeah.
No, I love that, right? 'Cause it's I love that because it's like about showing up, right? And I was thinking about the same, funny that you bring up work, because I was thinking about the same thing. I'm like, yo, T, like you every day you're showing up at this job, and like you know why you're here, right? It's like beyond all of the like microaggressions that you might face or everything that's going on at work. Your purpose is it runs deeper than that, right? Like you maybe have to exist in this space, but like you're still showing up to fulfill that purpose, and that in itself is activism. That in itself is engaging. Is yeah. So I don't know. I guess
And I think like and I think maybe that's where and I'm curious to hear about like your experience reading books like How to Be an Anti-Racist, because I know when I read, because there's engagement, you know, on a way of showing up for yourself, and I think there's also engagement on a way of like, you know, showing up for the community and beginning like and being anti-racist. That's like, you know, active dismantling as well. You know, an active like resistance in many ways for others. And I think I guess I'm curious on how like reading a book like How to Be an Anti-Racist impacts that, because I know like what reading books like so like Ijeoma Oluo's book of
So you want to talk
so you want to talk
about
about race.
race?
For me, like that gave me so much language, like language to know how to like say things, like you know, because you experience things, you understand concepts, you know, because you have this lived experience. And with reading books like that, for me, it was like, okay, bet. So now I understand some of these things and how to have a conversation about it, and building up on that through other types of text and discourse and stuff.
Yes, no, for sure. If there's one thing that Kendi's book is doing, it's giving me language for even for things that like I understood before. I knew that these things were happening. This is my lived experience, but being able to kind of name them and have discussions about them has been that's one thing the book has given me. The second thing is like kind of like debates. Like yesterday we had like a 3 hour conversation in this house about racism and racist policies and like upholding and how like I guess the intersection of like poverty and other injustices with racist policies. So just how all of these things run so deep that like you cannot separate all of the negative issues that Black people are going through from racism. Like, so people mm-hmm. who tend to say, oh, you know, let's not make it about race, you can't almost yeah. never make it, like, it's almost always about race, because at the end of the day, you might say, okay, look to the policies, but these policies are able to be in place because of some racist, like, person who was in office and the people who continue to uphold them. So, yeah, it's definitely been interesting. I'm only about 50% through, so I'm wanting to finish the whole book and just like have more conversations. But yeah, for sure, definitely giving me language to have discussions and to understand better kind of my lived experience. Yeah,
and especially as like as an immigrant, mm-hmm. like as somebody that for me that grew up in Nigeria mm-hmm. and moved here. Mm-hmm. as a teenager, I guess, and not having, you know, a lot of, like, it's a different context and not having a lot of the contextual experiences, really. And yeah. and I think, like, being able to, I don't know if the word is, like, empathize, like, having, like, being able to, yeah, I think on some level, being able empathy, to have empathy, yeah. I think being able to, you know, have solidarity mm-hmm, as well,
mm-hmm.
and gain some knowledge, you know, like, because you need context as well to be able to engage and engage in organizing or so many other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that piece is also important, because, you know, lots of folks that are Nigerian or from other, I guess, countries on the continent and in the diaspora, you know, there's a learning that needs to happen when it comes to understanding white supremacy and how it presents in America, in other countries, mm-hmm. all around the world. And even like in our homes mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. So thinking about all of this, and I'm curious, as you go through your week, you know, how, I guess, are there things, like, what do you do? What are things that, like, you implement or you do to either, like, bring you joy or to, like, take breaks or to just give you some sort of balance,
mm-hmm.
if I should call it that?
Yeah, oh my God. I feel like this list is so long now because, like, I've been having to, like, find things for, you know, to quote unquote, to use Marie Kondo's term, spark joy.
I'm dying.
So for me, I think one big thing is definitely engaging with my immediate community, and by that I mean like my friends and my family. So being able, like, taking out time for like FaceTime conversations, on the phone, text messages, checking in with my loved ones. That's for me like a huge part of kind of just like centering myself in joy and in gratitude. That's a big, big thing. I love like knowing that everybody's okay. And even if they're not okay, like how can I show up for them? Right. Mm-hmm. And then let's see what else. Listening to music. For sure, as you already said earlier, like, especially listening to way more music that's coming out of Africa, that's coming out of the continent, and I'm just, like, super appreciative of, like, all of the talent, and it mm-hmm. it makes me feel good, and I don't know what other words to use for that, it just makes me feel good. What else? Let's see. Ooh, journaling, gratitude journaling. I have to, like, I dedicate at least, like, 5 minutes in my day to gratitude journaling, to checking in with myself. That is key. Even if I don't, like, put pen to paper, just, like, writing it in my notes or just, like, saying it out loud. Like, it's amazing the power of just, like, stating what you have to be grateful for in any way. Just reminding yourself that there are things to be grateful for.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you?
Well, What do I think for me right now is just mostly music. Like I think like when I like going through my work day, there's like no space. So if I see like a 10-minute like break or something, I just reach out for my speakers and I'm like, okay, I need to play like something right now real quick, and just having that and I guess we'll talk about this in a second. But like for me right now, it's like really been Burna Boy's album. Like I start in the morning and it just takes me through like the whole
The whole
day,
day.
and just gives me so much joy because and that's like the most thing I'm doing. And right now I'm also watching like I try to watch like Bob's Burgers. I don't know if you've seen if you watch Bob's Burgers.
What? Yes. Oh, sorry, I'm so happy.
Yeah, I just put it on. I mean, it's hard not to be like I think it's hard not to be distracted and to be on myself. So sometimes I just like put it on, but I'm on myself and stuff.
Yeah,
But
it's so ridiculous. I definitely watch it to be like, I watch it when I'm like cooking, or I watch it when I just want something lighthearted and I kind of want to take my mind off things. It's great.
yeah.
I can't believe you're watching Bob's Burgers. I'm definitely
I
going
love
to
those. Bob's
be
Burger.
texting
Okay, so I mean, I think like the last, I guess, major piece I want us to talk about, we've talked about it, but it's the passing of Chadwick Boseman. And I think like I don't know, I want to give space to be able to just, I don't know, share however like you know your feeling or you know thoughts, whatever. I guess I'll just leave it open and we can go from there.
Yeah. Oh my God. I appreciate that Chadwick so much. Like, I know sometimes, like, I'm like, oh my God, I love this guy so much. But, like, I also know that, like, I barely knew him. Like, I can only contend with him from, like, a celebrity versus fan point of view. But it's like every single time there was, like, an interview or a video that I saw this man in, I had to watch it because he literally brought me so much joy. I loved seeing that dude smile. It was like literally the best thing ever. And of course, I'm such a huge like superhero fan. I'm a huge Marvel fan, so like Black Panther was everything for me. I've seen that movie at least 3 or 4 times, and I'm going to continue watching it. He was excellent. I think he brought so much like charisma, so much strength to that role. Like it couldn't have been, and it shouldn't be played by anybody else. Like, what a legend, man. What a legend.
Yeah, I think like I guess when I think of Chadwick Boseman, I think of it or I think of him and what he represents, like his person, and also you know what Black Panther was and is for Black folks. I know like I'm not a Marvel person. I'm like, wow, that's the most like that's the shittiest way to even say clearly. But you know, like I think I thought about him as, or I think about him as, you know, somebody that embodies what it's like to like do work for Black people and to center Black people in his work and in just his being and the way he carried himself. And you know, in a way that even shows that, you know, because some people like try to like conceptualize it as, you know, don't talk about all of this work that Chadwick was doing kind of as like something external of himself. Like, you know, he was doing all of this for us. But to be able to see how both things can exist where your like your person can be a commitment to this and that can bring you so much joy, right?
Oh, I love that. I love the way you put that.
And then how much like joy, as you're saying, like even listening to you talk, how much joy he brought to people. Like his person was joyous. Like you watch Black Panther and you're like, wow, I'm just so happy. You
Yo.
know, I just feel so like happy. And just so my you're right, like his interviews, like watching his interviews and the way he spoke and like his and just his persona. It's been Yeah, it's been shaking because, like, you know, we live in a time where, like, we get news so quickly now that you're like, I was sitting, I was with my friends, and I was like, oh, let me just see what's happening on Twitter.
And
And
it's like
you're
boom.
like, wait, I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly. And, you know, in many ways, to have like somebody that, you know, forever he's going to be like in stone as like a great legend, to pass away like so
So
soon, right as like
soon.
right in front of our eyes. You know, it's an interesting thing to think about. You know, but I think about, like, for me, like, I guess that makes me wonder, you know, how we describe length of time and what exactly is short or long. Or like, I understand it obviously in years, in the years
In
that
terms
we
of
know
right.
as we have it now. And yes, I am like, as a concept, yes, I understand that, and as the literal sense of it, I understand it too.
You're like, I can
but
count, I guess it.
yes, and then yeah. But you know, on another, in kind of in the same breath, it's also like, you know, like in many ways, it also feels so full, right? Like we think of Chadwick, and I know many people talk about how, like, yes, there's so many projects that we could have gotten from him, obviously, but like from what I see, like when people talking about him on Twitter, like it almost feels like our hearts are full. Like he's given us so
Give us
much,
so much.
you know, and so much we can like look to, and we felt so content by each of them in every moment. And like what legacy, what lessons really to leave behind. When I was watching Black Panther today, and in the scene where he was like with his dad, and his dad, and he was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this without you. And he said, a father, oh frick, I wish I could, I can't quote it as perfectly, but he's like, you know, what kind of father would let his child or leave his child without teaching him or something like that, or without a lesson? And he's like, I've ever, no, he said a father would fail a child if he leaves without like giving him like the lesson or the tools on how to be without him being there. And he's like, have I ever failed you? And I think of it, and I know lots of people are like, I mean, he's an ancestor, and I think of his energy, and it's like you've like he's left lessons for so many people, and like as a Black person, I think like when I think of like I guess when I think spiritually, I connect very strongly with like the concepts or the thoughts or the feelings and beliefs of like ancestors and powers and energies and lessons. So for some reason, I don't know, when I think of Chadwick Boseman, I get like now, like in this sense, I get so much like invigoration almost, because I think of the fact that, like, you know, you listen to, and I'm sure there's so many other folks, but I'm whack, so I have like basic references. But you listen to like even Beyonce's song and so many songs, and the whole point is that we are all connected. We are being guided by like many, many of our folks that have gone through this world and have fought and have paved ways and have pushed for us, and he did this here, and it's going to remain. Like when we're not losing that. Like anyways, that's yeah. But like what the fuck at the same time. You know?
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Rest in peace, Haddock.
Rest so well in so much power. Like, may, I don't know, may the paths just be guided, like, and for us as many, many folks, many creators, many actors, you know, continue to tell stories and, you know, show our stories in the truth of what they are and in the possibilities of what they can be, you know. And yeah.
Yeah.
What a time to have been to see people like this as well. Like, what a time to just be able to be present.
Yeah. Yeah. Every moment is truly a blessing, man.
We referred to this was quoted in our last episode if you haven't listened, but mood forever, Beyonce said every day above ground is a blessing. Like every moment we get. Anyways, I wanted to say a quote. This is from an article, I think, that or an interview
from Chadwick.
Yeah,
he has some great quotes, bro.
Yeah, I want to like quote a
great speaker.
Quotable. So the quote was, the projects that I end up doing that I want to be involved with in any way have always been projects that will be impactful for the most part to my people, to Black people, to see Black people in ways which you've never seen them before. And
yeah, man, did he do that? Did he just do that?
So T, if you have, I don't know, I want to leave space for if you have anything else to say, but if not, I'm just gonna just like, I guess in just reflection or silence or whatever for a moment before we transition to talking about other things.
Yeah.
So as we just think about that and just think about, you know, us and our presence and power, I guess. Wow, that gulp was probably so loud in the microphone, y'all. As TSM breathed.
Especially considering that the microphone is in your ears, right? So it's like, it's so close to your mouth. But yeah.
Okay. See, are we good to move on?
We are good to move on.
Yeah.
That was beautiful. Okay.
Thank you for sharing all her tears with y'all on the podcast.
Yeah, if you can't hear it already.
Okay. So I wanted us to kind of talk about, you know, the music. I like do like a little bit of a album review discussion.
Yes.
I think everything ties in well because even a lot of the songs on all these albums are talking about like are celebrating Black folks, are showing talent. The ridiculous talent. What? Like, is this like
it's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing. We're so talented.
Okay, so the albums that are in talks right now, just for right now, maybe at some point we can, like, our faithful loves to, like, come up with new segments.
We
maybe
love
at some
it.
Point we can continuously segment. Do album reviews or something.
unsolicited, nobody anywhere ever. Our favorite pods, our album favorite. Review.
Yes. Okay, so the albums that are in review right now. Yes. Well, I'm so excited.
I'm so excited.
Burnout Boys, Twice as Tall.
Okay.
Adekunle Gold's Afro Pop Volume 1. Fireboy, DML's Apollo. Right,
yes.
Tiwa Savage's Cecilia.
Is it Cecilia?
Might not see CC in front of it. Copies, original copy. So Tessa, actually, let me open it up to you. I think you know. It's fair that, gosh, that we start with Twice as Tall. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on the last episode, so maybe just a, you know, maybe new perspective, few things, whatever.
Okay, quick question, though. In our album review, are we doing the standard procedure of rating these albums out of 10?
Wow. That's standard procedure. I didn't think about that.
the arbitrary, we have to accept an arbitrary numbers.
Yes, I'm like, okay, I guess we have to do this. sure.
So yeah, I've been really loving Twice as Tall. I feel like since Outside, like this is the first Burna album that I'm liking, like on first listen, as compared to African Giant. I think when it first came out, I was definitely listening to like the second half of the album. I really, really love Bank on It. Like that's such a wonderful ending to the album. But anyway, now I'm just running it from top to bottom. Like Level Up, Alarm Clock. Who else is like when Alarm Clock finishes, they go and play it back?
Especially because like that's the like hype, and then you're like, oh, the song is over.
Yes, you're like, I'm just getting into it, but I think it goes into way too big, so it's like, you know what, fine, I'm going to, the hype continues. So I think the album is really arranged really wonderfully. I love Wonderful and Onyeka Baby back to back because I think they have the same vibe.
Yeah,
so it's like high, not high life, but like kind of wedding I love it. I'm actually really impressed by this album. Funny enough, I am seeing a lot of people saying they feel like Burna made this album for a more like non-Nigerian audience, which I think is an interesting point of view. I'm curious as to what you think about that, because I don't know if I necessarily agree. Actually, I don't agree.
I think like it's hard to like, I don't know, because maybe initially I might have like, not agreed, but I could have like related to how maybe most of the folks that had said that would feel, because like listening to it, especially coming off of African Giant, you're expecting a lot of like Zanko type of jam.
That's what one person literally said to me. He was like, I was expecting it to be like that kind of energy, like Zanku everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's hard to like say like he didn't make the song for Nigerians, because like there's no like Nigerians listen to like whatever you think this sound is, like Nigerians listen to this type of music.
Exactly.
And like Burna Boy, you know, it was kind of something going back to, I don't know, I think of Lizzo, that somebody had said Lizzo is not making song for like black folks, and she's like, I'm a black woman, so like,
so
I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, like I think initially I felt that way, but as I kept listening to the album and like listening to, you know, the lyrics and the sounds, like I felt connected to it. Sometimes I don't understand what, like, I'm like, what's Burna Boy's real message in this? But I guess I understand how I can interpret it for myself, and not always trying to understand what he's talking about.
Right.
But yeah, so I guess I can see where there's space to like have that conversation. But I wouldn't say I necessarily like agree.
Yeah,
especially because a lot of folks also say, like, if you listen to a lot of his music, you know, pre, like a lot of his sounds are also sounds that are quite similar to this, like all his old album and his old music
exactly.
Yeah. Whatever the demographic that is, I guess let it be that. But I know that there's Nigerians that are within that demographic, however you define it.
They definitely are. Like, even if you want to start picking out like specific songs, like, I mean, come on. I would find it hard to agree with that. But you're right. I guess I can see where there's space for that conversation. I am personally like, I really so hard.
Wow, I was actually, no feedback. I was going to send that song to my dad and be like, don't you like, isn't this your mood always? Like, literally. I listen to that song and I think of my father.
Exactly, see? I like that song a lot.
What were you going to ask?
I was going to ask you what you're answering, so go ahead.
I love, like, I like Nofivex right now. I'm like, hella, like, just thrilled by Way Too Big. Like, The first time when it came out, that was the only song I really liked on the album. And then recently, I think with Burna's album, maybe each day, there's two songs that I'm like, holy shit, wow, this lyric just blew my mind. So that's what's happening with me for Way Too Big. And the lyric that kills me is when he says, who bad enough? Who do it like me? Make Una call my cellular. Wait. Your back and your spinal cord, it gonna break if you carry my weight. I'm like, hey, what? And then he goes into, I'm way too big. I'm like, yeah. Tell them, talk your shit. What?
You, I think my favorite types of songs from Burna are songs where he's like, I'm the best.
Literally.
And I don't even I'm not in the same conversation with you guys.
Tell me. In that same song, he's like, Shay, you all want to do it. Oh, yeah, now. Oh, yeah, try.
Try.
Oh, that song gives me so much life. Before work every day, I'm just like,
come on.
I'm bye, babe. Yeah. Putting up my middle finger in the mirror, thinking of all the people I'm trying to be I can't be fucking with you.
Y'all should see Buffy throwing up gang signs right now. Wow, that was chaotic.
This is what the song does to me. Okay, so I like Way Too Big. I also like Waiting This Up.
Yeah, I like Waiting This Up with profanities and all.
Yes, wow. Love that song. Yeah, I also really like 23. I really like Naughty by Nature.
I like Naughty by Nature, dude. Yes. I like Naughty good by vibes. Nature. It makes me it's feel good so vibes. Yeah, it makes me feel so good.
Yeah.
I bring a different vibe when I'm stepping in. That's not Naughty by Nature, I don't think. But anyway, I like that line. And he says, I bring a different vibe when I'm stepping in. I'm like, yes, you do. And I also do.
I'm dying. Yes, this is me. This is me. Okay. Yeah, I think I love the album. I mean, I still can't get into Monsters You Made. I just think for me, I'm everything contradicts.
Contradicts.
At this point. But yeah, and I mean, we've talked about this a little bit, but maybe just to, as we wrap up Burna and talking about Burna Boy and the album, I think for me, I always just try to understand Burna Boy's positionality in all of this. And you know, I love his music, I love his I don't give a fuck, you know, I'm better than everybody actually, and you guys have done nothing to help me get here. So I love it. And I mean, you know, another thing that in his music is also around you know, who we are and nobody messing with you know, black folks and Nigerians and Africans, you know. But I just wondered, and then he also then tries to sidestep away from that. So he presents his music as this political tool, really.
Right. Right.
And at the same time being I don't really engage. And that's what, and Burna's politics are trash, in his speaking politics, not in his music. So anyways, that's the piece, because no one Burna, for me, I'm the people that you're always trying to educate are also not against you. And sometimes he situates it that way, that he's fighting the people while he's also saying the government is taking advantage of us. I'm make it make sense.
No, I agree with you. I definitely I feel whenever I'm listening to Burna's music that I'm constantly hearing this I don't know if constantly is the right word, but I'm hearing this dichotomy, this kind of clashing of statements. It's I'm not political, I don't like politics, but then you're really saying all of these political things, and honestly, as you put rightly before, all of our lives are political. Especially as you know, I'm just speaking from our own perspective as Nigerians, our lives are political, and even sometimes more so even when you're living in Nigeria. So it's I don't understand that separation from it, you know. It's interesting. It's interesting. So
Yeah, that's the thing. Like people, no, I'm not saying this is what burnout is in particular, but like, you know, in a country like Nigeria, where like the politics is also what gives a lot of people access still. So people still try to protect their access, like, and it's and I think like that's why in many ways a lot of like Nigerian celebrities and folks aren't like so political, because they benefit so much
From
from
the
these systems as well.
yeah,
And how do they
exactly.
distinguish themselves from it? And I
Yeah.
guess that's what sometimes I see in like in burnout as well, is like not being able to make that distinction and actually learn what it means. Like, and actually if you care, like if you're going to be active in this way, then understanding what that actually looks like
That
and
looks
means,
like, yeah. Yeah.
while you're still like basking in all of these benefits and stuff. But yeah,
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of, I guess it might be a good transition to maybe talk about, when we talk about access and so many things, talking about Tiwa Savage and her album and Thulia. What do you like? You've almost listened to the whole thing now.
I've gone through most of it. Although, guys, disclaimer, this is my first listen. Although, to be
Yes,
fair, I
mine
have
as
listened
well.
to at least three of those songs because they were released as singles.
Yes.
I always say this, Tiwa's quote unquote politics annoy me. They really, really annoy me. I feel like in the face of like really important issues, Tiwa is just always stating something from left field to be very kind of vague and general about it, because I'm not remembering her specific statements. But she's now so talented and she makes this like really great music. And for me, sometimes being a Tiwa fan is like always having to like try to be like, oh, she's problematic, but I love her music. And that's how I'm feeling about Celia. I'm really, really enjoying it. Yo, Koroba is a jam.
Jam all the
It is
way.
a jam. Look,
Yeah,
she's
I
done
fuck with
something
that
this album.
song. And I think like, even pick your favorite artist, pick freaking Burna Boy. Burna Boy is hella problematic. So like, then if we can afford, space for a lot of our Nigerian
Of our
male
Nigerian
artists that
male
are
artists,
awful people, actually,
we can give two other space
we
too
can give to other space to be trash and critique her
and
trashness
critique it.
and also elevate her. And Tiwa Savage is freaking talented. That's not something I'm even here to like debate with
Debate. No, no,
people.
no, 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 no. She's hugely talented, and I feel like some she's even for me, I feel like she's even grown more into
Oh
her like
yeah.
Tiwaness. Like
Oh yeah.
she just hits so hard. Like, wow.
Absolutely. That's
Yeah.
another person that, like, for me, the energy that I love from her is that I don't give a
You don't
fuck.
care.
Like, this is who I
It
am.
works.
I'm going to come with all of my badness and give you guys like hits after hits. I loved it. Like, I really enjoyed the album. I liked, like, it's interesting seeing, and it's, I think, the same when we then talk about like Adekunle Gold's album as well. It's interesting seeing like Nigerian artists, obviously still incorporate many aspects of their sounds and the night in quotes, like whatever we determine as like the Nigerian sound,
Sound,
to
yes.
creating like new, like they, I mean, they've always made music, I shouldn't say this, but to creating different types of
Types of
music, like
music,
listening to
yeah.
Tiwa's album and listening to like Davido and Naira Marley on the album, and the different melody that is being presented here and the range,
The range. Yo, I
and her,
love that song
yeah.
with Davido. I forget what it's called, but I was really enjoying it. Like, I almost went to go repeat, but I forgot I have to listen to the album for the podcast.
Yes, David,
Movies was banned.
put your faith
Oh my
ever.
God.
Guys, I'm too hype.
But also, oh, no,
the
go ahead,
last
please.
song, Celia, I think you'll like it when you eventually get to it. I think it sounds like a gospel song as well, but it's very beautiful. It's just very like uplifting and
Nigeria.
gospely.
Nigeria and the last
Churchy.
song on their album being churchy, five or
Churchy.
six.
We love church. You can hear the choir in the background. Hallelujah. I was like, okay.
It's not church, it's something about I go leave a legacy. Yeah.
Yes, they have to leave you on that. Like, just remember, I have a purpose in this life. In case you forgot.
In case you forgot. But yeah, big ups to Tiwa. I am honestly overwhelmed by the amount of community coming out of Nigeria this summer. I'm so happy. I am
bless
so happy.
Us. Wow, guys. Like, Afrobeat music? Oh, God. People, I'm just so glad. Okay. And then, okay, speaking of them, let's talk about AG Baby, like, rebrand, rebirth, like, Black Boy Joy, like, Daddy Energy. I don't even know what's happening with Adekunle Gold right now, but, like, we are here for it.
I'm here for Afropop all of it. Here for Adekunle Gold and his bead-wearing, silk shirt having daddy vibes. I want all of it. I'm here for all of it, okay?
We need more of just, like, transitions like this, like that you can be like, there's just a softness to him at the same time, like he's who he is. And a lot of times, especially when men become fathers, they like feel like they have to be like, oh, I have to now protect whatever. And like, I've seen Adekunle just like almost like transition to like this, like you know, like manhood and showing like what like man, like being a man can look like, and it can look like wearing freaking beads and like wearing your shirts and just loving your family and yourself.
I love it. Okay, sorry, we'll just have to gush about AG for his album.
Yes, Afropop Volume 1.
This is an AG Baby stan podcast. I just have to announce it. Such a good album, way too short. I'm sure Adekunle Gold had like three or four more songs he could have given us. You know, he decided to keep it for volume two. It's okay. I'm really, really loving it. I love AG Baby. The melody on that song is just... I love it so much. And then it goes into Sabina and I'm like, Sabina. I love it. I'm pretty girl.
Yeah.
Y'all should not catch me on the dance floor. Don't catch me on the dance floor. If you see me, just look somewhere else when that song comes on. Love it.
The only thing about all these albums is that Lagos has to be open in December because all these songs, and then what are we doing with them? Because these are like, Pretty Girl comes on, like, you lose your mind. Way to Be comes on in the club, you lose your mind. Koroba comes on and you're like,
I need to shake body. It's not enough to shake body in my house. I need to dance with my friends, like, yo.
Yeah, I can see it. Any other faves on that album?
Pretty Girl. I really like Here For You. Is that the name of that song? Yeah, that's the name of that song. I really like Here For You. I think I have another fave towards the end. I'm just now not remembering what it's called. But anyway, that's like four faves out of like a 7-song album, please.
Yeah, Echo. I love the album. I need to listen to it again and again. I've been giving Twice as Tall too much of my time, so. This week, I think we're going to transition.
Yeah.
But love it. Yes, love AG Baby. That song, amazing. Adekunle Gold is just so talented.
He's so talented. He's so versatile. Like, and he's just showing us that. And I'm here for all of it.
I'm trying to pull up the album, but I don't want my audio to get messed up. But the other songs are Echo TSS songs. But let's move on so that we can cover the last two, which is Apollo by Fireboy DML. Let's talk about Fireboy DML right now.
First of all, like, you guys, I'm sweating because like I'm in love with Fireboy. Okay. Like, when he released his first album, I played that thing nonstop for like days. Repeat top to bottom. I still play that album top to bottom. That is a quality album. Dude now said, hold my earrings. I'm going to bring you Apollo, and it's slaps just as hard. It goes just, look, I love Champion. Yesterday or 2 days ago, I went on a run. I was listening to that song.
Yeah.
I felt like I was on top of the world. Mm. It's so good. I love Champion. I love Ellie. Yeah, Ellie. Mm-hmm. I love Favorite Song. Favorite Song is just vibes. It's just vibes. I'm trying to stop myself from speaking. Guys, I love this album. Dreamer is a jam. Sound. Okay, when we're done recording, I'm going to listen to this for like 1 hour. But yeah, I'm loving this album, Murphy. Really, really solid work from Fireboy. I'm so proud of him.
I've listened to it only once. I need to listen to it again. But I can't pick like favorites right now. But yes, I like New York City Girl as well is also on there as a sweet song. And Fireboy DML is just killing it.
He's such a lover boy
and just a sweet like sweet music in your ear. But I wanted to say that something else that like stands out to me in all of this, like when I think of maybe more so of the combination of Tiwa's album AG and Fireboy, before we talk about Copy, and I'm sure Copy as well, I don't know too much, but just like the Nigerian talent that's also on it, like the producers, like you know like the writers on the songs, like the beat makers, like you see, like there's many of them, like there's Mologo, there's like I know, like there's a guy that I met in Lagos in December, Edwin, like there's just so many people that like, you know, and we listened or we watched, was it read an interview with Oxlade. And yes, so Oxlade. I guess as I listen to everything, I think about like all of the talents that is in the Nigerian music industry, and seeing it just thrive. Is really nice.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Like now I get so excited to like hear the, I don't know, guys, correct me, when you hear all these people like Funkula, those are the producers. Mm-hmm. But I love hearing their names on these songs, being like, you also produced that other person's song. Like, it's just so great. Shout out to all the talent that like, you know, works and puts these albums together, makes these things happen.
Inject it in my veins. And then the last one, Tessa hasn't listened to Copy's album, original Copy. Mm-hmm. I listened to it just right before we started podcasting. So again, it's on a first listen, but it's really good. I think, you know, Copy, and there's like interludes she puts in the album that like people like that, like commentary, people are like, you know, this music thing is not for you and stuff. And other aspects of her also like saying like, daddy, I don't need your money and things like that. It's been interesting seeing Copy's like just journey or like time and presence within the music industry. And one thing that I really appreciated about her is that like she's like, and I mean obviously she's very privileged, so she has the space to not care, but like she's like, you know what, I'm going to do this and I'm going to work on my craft, I'm going to put myself out there, I'm going to try and be relatable. Amala and Jollof. So you guys know that I'm one of you. In the past, like, you know, she had some bops that, like, I listened to as her singles, and I think that's what she did on this album as well, that it's a discography of, like, bops with features, like, a lot of the songs are featuring Shay, Fireboy, DML. She has a really good one, a song called Feel Good, so nice, featuring Fireboy, DML. Jollof on the Jet featuring Rema and somebody else. Wyclef is on a song. So it's a solid, like well packed. It's a solid well packed album. And like there'll be songs that obviously will come up like on the radio and the clubs or whatever vibe to for sure. So I like it, and I mean, in the midst of, you know, when you're then listening to all these other albums and stuff, like you can see the difference in like in the talent. Facts, like there's no sugarcoating there, but not saying that like I really like Copy's album as well, and you know,
at the end of the day, and one thing that really ties it to all of these things is even on her album, just talking about, like, you know, where she's from and who she is, and just connecting to identity and mm-hmm. telling, like, our stories in the truth and as the storytellers of yeah. our stories.
I'm here for it. You know what? I've actually only heard good things about Poppy's album. And as somebody who, you know, I liked that song with Techno, but I don't know that it was necessarily Poppy's parts of the song that I liked. So for me, I'm coming in as like a Poppy skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to listen to it and see how it is.
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of people, which is why maybe people are like, oh, it's actually not bad, because I think folks, like, were going into it as skeptics as well. Yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, like, you can hear this production on it, I mean, and stuff like that. So, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. T, do you have any, I guess maybe we didn't do individual, but do you have any final either, like, thoughts or ratings of these five albums that we've talked about?
Enough. Okay, you know what? I think I'm just very excited to have all of this music available. You know what I want to add?
Mm-hmm.
I have been listening to the new Roots album from The Cavemen. Y'all need to go and listen to it. If you like High Life, this is High Life. Yeah. And like, it sounds so sweet. Like,
I started listening to it.
You did?
I started, but I haven't gotten.
Oh, you started? Okay. Yeah, I really love it. But yeah, I think for me, just over the next few weeks, everything is going to be in rotation. Like, I'm just going to be cycling mm-hmm. the album. Like, everybody has put out really good work.
Mm-hmm.
And I may end up listening to some songs more than others.
Yeah.
But overall, I'm just really happy to have good music. To be honest.
Yeah. Me as well. Me too. Yeah. So guys, maybe again, we have our thing on Spotify. So if there's music that you're listening to and you can actually add to it, so you can add to the playlist. And yeah, so you can add that way, or you can tweet at us at our Faith Pods to share some good music that you're listening to, or any other forms of joy and excitement that you're engaging in.
Yeah.
So Tiesa. Yeah.
Okay, that was so. I was like, well, you might as well do the outro.
Yeah, I'm ready to. I'm ready to outro us. Yeah, so T, thanks for sharing with us and on the podcast, and you know, just the rawness of how we're feeling in these moments, and probably that will carry us on for a while. And yeah, so thank you. And can you tell us where folks can find you to connect with you?
Yeah, thank you too, love. Thank you for holding space for these really important conversations.
Mm.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram, where I'm definitely not as vulnerable, at TIIESE. And you can also read my travel blog, sameFootprints.com.
Yeah, and you guys can find us. We are at Our Faith Pods on Twitter and on Instagram, and on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all the other spaces. We are at Our Favorite Things Podcast, and favorite is spelled with a U. Leave us a review, rating, subscribe, and let us know how you're engaging with the podcast. And you can find me on Twitter, I'm at Miss Badma, so that's MSBADMOS, and on Instagram at Mophie's Book Collection. And stay safe, y'all. Stay hydrated. Wash your hands. Social distance. And don't forget to find something to be grateful for. Bye.